Okay, let us continue this second session. And here we come on to what you have come for the speaker's seminar. In other words, learning the practical pointers on the presentation of a message. Now, these again are from my own experience. You do not get all these from other books. You may get some other pointers similar to the other books, but they happen to be, you know, common pointers which I share and which they also share. So it is nothing unique about that. But the point is, what you are getting now is all from my own experience to share with you what I have been doing. So firstly, we have the preacher's preparation. Now, the holistic preparation, in other words, the overall preparation of the speaker. Now, you will note that I have been emphasizing a lot on the messenger. The message is only authoritative enough when the messenger is right. Otherwise, then we have a suspicion of what the message is all about. So, firstly, be best of God. In this, I suggest that the person must be in right relationship with God. And that's why elders in every assembly must make sure that the person who stands up here has a very consistent Christian life. That if he is not consistent in his Christian life, and there are some suspicious aspects in his life, no matter how good he is as a speaker, he may be very eloquent, it's best that he be not used. The person standing behind the pulpit must back up what he says with his life. Be at your best for God. Be at your best. Now, very often we adopt this attitude. Be at my best. This is my best, ma. So what you are, you just do not seek to improve further, but you just say, okay, this is my best that I can do. Finish. Full stop. Here, I would like to share my experience with you. But first, let me point out what is meant by being at the best for God. Seek to improve yourself and reduce impediments. In other words, seek to progress and improve every aspect of what is required of you as a speaker. Now, here I'm talking of public speaking. Let me begin with myself. When I first started to speak in the young people's meeting, as I told you 2 weeks ago, I was a disaster. I've never been made to be a speaker. Number one, I was very shy, very afraid of people, and to stand in front of a group of people would be the end for me. I would shiver. Number two, I would stutter, I stammered a lot, and number three, my speech was so unclear, I could still not forget these words from Mr. Tan Wah Kim, the elder then. I told you, the elders at that time did not spare you. They were right there and would tell you the truth. I hope the elders today would do the same. They would just, Mr. Tan Wah Kim just came up to me. You know, I cannot even understand 60% of what you say. Your speed is like faster than a jet plane. I can remember those words after nearly 50 years. But Was I insulted? Did it make me discouraged? No. Okay? You cannot understand me. I stammer. 50% of what I say cannot be understood. You know what I did? Number one, I read of it somewhere that the orator in the past would put pebbles in his mouth to practice so that he could speak clearly. So, instead of pebbles, I put sweets. I use sweets in my mouth. And with the sweet in my mouth, I started to practice speaking, to slow down my speed and to speak more clearly. That was an impediment I had. It was part and parcel of me. So I had to overcome it. Secondly, your command of the language is very important. Now, let me tell you this. The best way to improve your English is to read the King James Version of the Bible. It is the best literature form in history. You just read King James. Don't go in for the Living Bible. Don't go in for the Good News. In these versions, you understand what you read, but you don't understand anything at all. But when it comes to King James Version of the Bible, when you read it, in most cases you do not understand. And when you do not understand, you start searching. You start looking up dictionaries. You start looking up commentaries. And that's where you learn. And that's how I learned. That's how I learned. King James Version was my textbook. Of course, I'm not a King James Version man. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I also read other versions. You compare King James with other versions. And then in this way, you increase your vocabulary. King James Version has the best English. Although it may be a bit outdated now, but still a lot of idiomatic English is an expression is from King James. So, look up King James. Yes. Right, I'm coming to this. Yes.
How about the new KJV? Because you mentioned the KJV.
Right. KJV, new KJV. New KJV gets rid of the obsolete words used at that time. By obsolete, difficult to understand. Outdated words used at that time. Dying, thee, thou, and so on. So they've changed to you and they and today's English. Well, it makes you understand better. If you want New King James, when you read New King James, you understand quite a lot because it is in modern English. You might as well use NIV also, it's quite modern English. So, you read, you understand. When you understand, would you look up the dictionary? You will not. When you read, when you understand, would you look up a commentary? You will not. So, you don't learn. So, it's up to you. Alright? I'm not saying it's bad. Now, so, I started with KJV, and 2 weeks ago I showed you the commentaries in my house, in my library. You find that this was my favorite. All those commentaries were thick commentaries. I especially went for commentaries that were published in the early 19th century, 20th century, 19 something, where they used beautiful English, but difficult vocabulary and difficult expression, so that when you read one sentence, you've got to read 3 times, 4 times, 5 times before you understand what it says. But that's where you improve your English. Alright, concerning training again. I knew at that stage, when I was young, my English was not so good. So I enrolled for the Regent English course, Regent English Correspondence course. Are you old enough to have heard of it, Mr. Ong?
I'm still young.
You only go Oxford.
All right. So I took up an English course to learn more English and what English grammar is all about. Worse for the younger ones today, because you never study grammar. And that is the worst part. That's why you cannot understand commentaries. When the commentary says this word is in the imperative voice. What is imperative voice? I do not know that a word can speak, that there is a voice. You do not know. But we studied it. We studied grammar. And so I took up an English course, the Regent Institute. That's for English. Then to increase my knowledge in scripture, I took up the Emmaus Bible course. Now, I'm proud to say this. I was the first person in the whole of Malaysia to be awarded a certificate, Emmaus school certificate from Toronto. Not from Malaysia, from Toronto, for the first person to complete 24 courses of the Emmaus correspondence course. And those courses at that time that we did were not true and false questions or objective questions, but we had to write out the answers in full. Example like this: I recommend this course to you, preach the word. Now here you would have to prepare a lot of sermons. By the time you finish the course, I think you would have prepared a number of sermons. And you have got to read, for example, one question says that you would have to read through the whole of Romans and give a summary, a thesis of 500 words, and so on. And that's practically about every lesson. So that's how I improved. I recommend this. But today, I'm not sure whether it is still available. The name is still available, but the course content has been changed and the questions have been changed to yes, no, A, B, C. They are trying to put you back to kindergarten class. And that's why after I had finished my 24 courses and been awarded the certificate, I refused to carry on with the Emmaus Bible courses anymore, for the simple reason that the questions had been much simplified because of people complaining. By the way, I like to say this. Not only was I the first in Malaysia, in Malaya at that time, to be awarded this certificate, but there's another person from Burma Gospel Hall who was awarded the same certificate. And I'm referring to Mrs. Douglas Clay. Mrs. Douglas Clay. Some of you might not know her, but she was the second person in the whole of Malaya to obtain a certificate for completing 24 courses of the correspondence course, also the more difficult one. Okay, that is for training and preparing myself. Right, next one. Clarity of speech. I told you just now, as a young boy, I stammered a lot, I stuttered, and my speech could not be understood because I slurred over my words and people could not understand me. Now, if you fail in this, you might as well not stand up here anymore, because people cannot understand no matter how good your content is. But because you slur over your words, you cannot communicate, result is they do not understand. So what benefit is for you to speak? You just speak into thin air. So that's one, clearness of thinking. As a young boy, my thoughts were muddled. In other words, I could not think systematically or logically. I took up a course, radio course on clear thinking. At that time, there was a radio course on clear thinking. So every week I would listen to the course and I would answer the questions. and send in the questions for marking and so on. And I'm proud to say that I was one of two in Hood of Penang to be awarded a special award where both of us were given a trip, air trip to Singapore to attend a seminar and then to meet with the mayor of Singapore. I think his name was Ong Eng Guan. That was the first time I ever flew on an aeroplane. And the one who was successful in getting the award together with me was none other than the State Information Officer of Penang, Mr. Ng something, I've forgotten. Now, from that course, I began to think clearly. Actually, it was a course on law, how to think logically and how to set up your arguments logically. It was a good course on clear thinking. So you see, I had my impediments, and one by one, I slowly tried to get rid of these impediments. Next one, confidence would only come with practice. You know, somebody, Dato' Teh Hui Kiat, the elder from Bumber Gospel Hall, he thought that, you know, I could speak very well from the way I spoke and so on. And when he reached 70 years old, his art circle, he said he was an artist, gave him a tribute. The state gave him a tribute. So there would be a gathering of all the VIPs, and they would pay tribute to him from various aspects, from the academic world, from his artistic, from the artist circle. And he came approached me, said, "Mr. Ang, can you speak on behalf of my part in the church circle?" I said, Mr. Teh, I cannot. I'm not a public speaker." "But you cannot a public speaker? You speak publicly so many times." "No, I cannot. Really, I cannot. I cannot speak. The Lord has called me and given me a gift to speak only to the Lord's people, not for public. The gift that God has given me is not for public use." No. "If you don't speak, who will?" So in the end, after 1 or 2 weeks, I had no other way but to say, okay, because I was an elder then. So I said, okay. And that day, in front of the former chief minister, Dr. Lim Chong Yu, and I stood up before this VIP crowd. First 5 minutes, I spoke quite well. After that, I blacked out. Suddenly, I saw black and I just collapsed. I fainted. I just collapsed to the floor. And Dr. Teh Hui Kiat, his daughter, was a doctor, quickly rushed to me, and Dr. Lim Chong Yu quickly rushed to me. So embarrassing. But it's okay, because Dr. Lim Chong Yu then was my family doctor. So they came and they tried to revive me. After that, anybody who approached me for public speaking, no. It's not unless there's a doctor there. It's because the Lord does not give you that talent to be misused. It's for Him and for Him alone. And that's why it's so important that you must realize that whatever gift God has given you is for His use and for His glory, not for your own glory. Now, what I'm sharing with you all are true incidents. Okay. So, alright. Mr. Brother Edwin asked me whether I had any training in speaking and so on. Well, I had read somewhere and so on, in order to speak well, you must be able to have a good command of your breath inside you, in your lungs and so on. You must be able to breathe properly. So, many of you would go to the bathroom, and when you bathe, you will become bathroom singers. But I did not become a bathroom singer. What I did was, every time I bathed, I would take a bucket of water, fill it up, put my head inside that pail of water, and I would blow as long as I could to sustain the breath inside my lungs so that I could be able to speak smoothly because of my stammering tongue. And that I practiced. So, you must realize your impediments, you must realize your weaknesses, and you must try to improve them so that those which are no good, you eliminate them. Do not be satisfied with what you are. You must seek to improve and be your best for the Lord.
Some I met things like what you're teaching us of the first. Were you given any training in that?
Say again, please.
The training I was thinking about is like the ones you were showing us, the thought and how to put it in order, that sort of thing. Were you given any training?
No. I was not given any training. If at all any training, it was from the clear thinking. That was years ago. But it was one method that I developed over the years. As I tried various ways and then tried the shortest, easiest possible way of trying to form an outline of a message.
But that suggests that the missionaries who came here, who spoke well, themselves also didn't receive training. People like Mr. Joaquin also learn, like you said, the hard way.
That's right.
Are you suggesting that that's the way to go?
Let me say this. I have been under the influence of a number of foreign missionaries. Now I say this without hinting any bad thing about them. I've never been put under the arm of any missionary. Today we talk of mentoring. No missionary ever took me under his arms and taught me what to do and so on. I was just left alone for my own development. As I said, I never went to a seminary. I was never in any training class. Today you are in training class. I never attended a class like this. I was never been mentored, never given any calls by missionaries. All this I discovered and learned from the school of God. That's all.
You actually can't be blamed for speaking the way you did at YP.
No. No, that was nature, part of me. That was nature. I was naturally a stammerer. I was a stammerer from the very beginning. Today, I'm happy to say that I don't stammer that much, although I still do a little bit. But I was born a stammerer. That was part and parcel of me. Okay? So, today, I am what I am because of God's grace. Nothing more, nothing less. Alright, let's go on from there. So, there is the holistic preparation. It requires every part of our personality to be at the best for God. The command of the language, the clarity of speech, clearness of thoughts, and confidence. Alright. I just could not imagine that I could ever be a speaker. Because I was so afraid and so shy. But the Lord, because of the Lord, I was motivated to do what I did not want to do. And I hope this may be your motivation. That because of the Lord, you will do your best for Him. Now, 2 Chronicles 19:4-9 says, Jehoshaphat appointed judges in the land. He told them, consider carefully what you do, because you are not judging for men but for the Lord, who is with you whenever you give a verdict. Please remember, when you are up on the pulpit, you are standing on behalf of the Lord. Now this verse is not in your notes. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God, there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. In other words, when you stand up here, be a faithful messenger of God. Do not be bribed just because of the audience or that strong, that are people there with strong political connections and so on. You begin to be afraid and you try to please them. The word of God must be preached straightforward. It's not to please anybody. In Jerusalem also, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests and heads of Israelite families to administer the law of the Lord, just like you and I when we speak on behalf of God. He gave them these orders: you must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. This must ever be understood by all of us. Right. There is first the holistic preparation of the person. Now, preparation at home. You are now, I assume that you will now have prepared your message. That outline is ready for you already. Now, what other preparation do you need before you actually deliver the message? Spiritually commit the message to God. Sleep with the message. Wake up with the message. You know, sometimes, not so much now, because now I found a new way of overcoming this problem. But before, whenever I had a message to prepare, I hardly slept. Nighttime, I would start thinking of the outline of the message, would rehearse and would go through. And when I did so, the rest of the night's gone. I could not sleep anymore. Today, tonight, I try to shut this off, because I know if I start thinking the rest of the night, I'll be fully awake. So I will not think of it anymore. But I have another way of doing it, as I'll perhaps show you afterwards. So commit the message to God. Many of you know that I go for my morning walk at 6 o'clock in the morning to the botanical gardens. It is during this morning walk that I have many times been given messages by God. A lot of my ruminations, the outlines, are from my walk. Early morning, wake up, and that's why you need to know the Bible. And as you walk, thoughts come to your mind, and with the thoughts, you search for the text in the scriptures and you connect them. And then you go home, you start preparing, start jotting down the thoughts so that you have an outline ready. So, commit the message to God. Mentally commit the basics to memory. Having had your outline, now you may have to commit to memory the outline. Now, there are some of you who may commit to memory the whole message verbatim. Please don't do that. Don't do that. It is very, very stressful. And if you are a husband and you have a wife, the wife is stressed also, because the wife cannot talk to you. The wife cannot speak to you. You are very stressed. Do not commit to memory verbatim. And that's why I stress so often here: prepare an outline. Memorize the basics of the outline. For example, just now, if you can just memorize the first 2-3 points, the main outlines and the subpoints, enough. The rest, leave it to the Lord. The rest, as you go about day by day, thinking about the message, you read your newspapers, you see things, you watch TV, certain things come in that can be linked with your outline. Incorporate them into your message. So your basic outline is important. That is the skeleton. So you can commit that to memory, and then after that you just leave it to the Lord. So first, read. Now I'm talking of having finished your outline, you know, having finished your outline, your message is ready, prepared. Read the newspapers, read other books, Now, a lot of these things come in after I prepared my outline. As I've read other things, and then they come in. And I incorporate them into my outline. Do research. I want to find out some more things about that or other things. For example, I want some illustrations for my PowerPoint. I will then do some research. Review. Incorporate them into the outline, then review. Is it still logical? Does it still develop systematically? Go over. Revise. Whatever is not wanted, get rid of it. That's why I like the computer. I do not want, delete. Now, even when I delete, I don't delete completely. I just cut and paste at the bottom of the outline. Who knows, I may need it later on. So if I need it later on, I go back to the very bottom of the outline, get it, paste it back. So this is what I do. Nothing is wasted. Until my final one, then what I do not want, I just get rid of it, and then there you are, I'm ready. Rehearse. Go through. Go through. Go for your morning walk. Come, join me. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Waterfall Gardens. And then go over the message. As you walk, go over. That's why sometimes people think that those are the, in the botanical gardens, when they see me, you see this Mr. Ang here? He doesn't seem to recognize me. I cannot recognize them because I'm talking to myself. I'm rehearsing what I'm going to say. So, I'm blind to all those passers-by. So, rehearse. Rehearse. Rehearse all the details that you want to use in that message. Finally, check and contact. Check and contact. You know, you may like to use the laptop. You may like to use your projector. Now, you ask our brother Joseph. Every time I come over here, Mr. our brother Joseph, please make sure that you have the projector ready for me. Please make sure that you have a whiteboard for me. I want to use it. I want to do that. Technical part. Don't leave it to the last minute. Arrange with the person in charge what you want to do. Contact the person. Alright? So, it is very, very frustrating to see the speaker coming up here, and after he has come up to the front, and then he sets up his projector, his overhead projector, sorry, laptop, and then start to on it, and then he wait, and the others also wait, and then admiring him to see what he does with this long uploading of the program. It's very embarrassing. Come prepared. The moment you come up here, you open your laptop, you're ready. Ready. You don't wait. Alright. Preparation in the meeting hall. Now you're ready with the message, you come to the hall. Right? Come early. Be punctual. You know, for these two sessions that I was put on for duty, I was the first one to be here. Except the first one, when our brother Mr. Chu Tong Fat from Sungai Nibong was earlier than myself. Why? He mistook the time. He never intended to come early, but he mistook the time. But anyway, he was good. He came early, and I was new to it, to this place here, did not know how to connect the various equipment. He did it all for me. But I also made sure that our brother would come early. I told him I could be here by 3:40. For example, today. You see, it is very frustrating for the speaker to be late, and then he comes here and people are waiting for him. You don't do that. Today, I expected a troublesome crowd and traffic congestion. So, if you look around, you see that my wife is not here. Why? I told him, alright, this session, you don't come. Why? Because I'm not going to drive here. Yesterday, I was going back from Tesco to my home. It took me more than 1 hour to reach home. I could not get through. I said, I do not want the same experience again this today. And if I'm caught, I shall be late for my session. So please, you stay back for today. And how did I come? My motorbike. I came on my bike so that I could squeeze my way in and out of traffic and I could be in time. I was the first to be here. So be punctual. That's very important. Do not be late as a speaker. Now, all these years as a speaker, I've always been punctual. You ask Mr. Mann, he was nodding his head. Sungai Ara. The elders in Sungai Ara people, the elders in Sungai Ara now are afraid of me. If I'm I'm the speaker, they will come specially early. I know. Yeah, he nodded his head. They'll come specially early because otherwise they'll be caught. And there were those times, even Butterworth, when I was late. I was not late. I was still punctual because they started late. The Lord has taught me always to be punctual. Speakers have no excuse for being late. You just have to plan your time accordingly. Be prepared. Confirm with the chairman when you arrive. Confirm with the chairman immediately. All right, what I have told you earlier, have you got ready? So you have got to find out from the chairman. Number one, all the arrangements that you have made with him earlier, has he prepared for them? Number two, and very important, how much time do I have? Again, punctuality. How much time do I have? If you have that amount of time, keep to that time. Don't. At the end of the message, say, oh, sorry, I had gone over time. If you have been given that time, now I've given 10 minutes more. So I have got to stop in 10 minutes' time. So you have to keep to time. Be prepared. Check the not only the arrangements made with the chairman, check the conditions, projector ready, screen ready, set up your laptop, programs, and be ready to screen. Set up your equipment. So you must be prepared. That's why you need to come early. And I was ready for everything already when Mr. Joseph came. Alright. Especially when you have a lot of equipment to get ready. And of course, come early, be prayerful. Spend some time in prayer. Remember, when you are here, you are not giving a talk. You are involved in a warfare with spiritualities. Now, the presentation of the message. Firstly, it's not the message that is important as well, only. It is also the messenger. The messenger. Be presentable in attire. You need to present yourself properly. Remember, you are on His Majesty's service. You cannot be dressed like this and then preach in front of everybody else as you like. Alright? At least, as required by the elders in the assemblies in Penang, put on a tie. Now, let me say this to you. You know, when I was younger, I never had any good relationship with the oversight. I had always been fighting with oversight. If you ask people like Mr. Joaquin, Mr. S.S. Adam, Mr. Wilson, I always fought with them. Why? For instance, I still remember when I was a young man in the congregation, Mr. Ong Hat Chuan, elder and secretary of Bumrungrad Hall Oversight. He stood up on the pulpit and he said, I will not allow anyone without a coat and a tie to stand on the pulpit. I was very angry with him. And after that, later on, when I went to the oversight, I again fought for the removal of the coat and for the removal of the tie when the person is not speaking. Because one day, when I came to the meeting and I was not speaking without my tie, Mr. Tan Hwa Kim came to see me. You are a disgrace to the Lord. Why? Just because I did not put on a tie, but I was not speaking. And he said that, he knew that I was going to get back at him. He said, you are a disgrace to the Lord, and he quickly went away. I could not say anything. Later on, when I was in the oversight, I had a big fight with Mr. W. Wilson over this matter. And today, leaders, you are allowed to stand up here, even to take part in the Lord's Supper, distributing the elements and so on, without a tie. That's because of my effort. Honestly, before, not allowed. You must put on a tie. So, my contention was this, that if you are not on duty, you just come. What's wrong without putting a tie on? But when you're on duty, please be properly attired. And that's why I was so angry over the years. I never put on a tie. I put on a push jacket or a batik. And that became accepted as my uniform. So now you know the background of what actually happened. Be poised in posture. When you stand up there, please show the people that you have a backbone. Don't just bend like that. Stand up straight. Be poised. Place yourself in position. In a position where you can see everybody in front of you. And everybody can see you. That's important. Because you must know how they react to what you say. Appraise your audience. Remember it is. Your audience may consist of old people, young people, middle-aged group. Please choose a suitable method of presenting your message. Don't treat old people as young people. Sometimes it's so frustrating and embarrassing when speakers try to treat old people, senior ones, you know, like children. You know that or not? You don't know? You know, you must respect the elderliness of the persons in front of you. But if you are speaking to young people, yes, by all means, use whatever you want as a young man. But you must know your audience. Emerson says, all great speakers were bad speakers at first, just like me. The proclamation of the message, clarity of communication. Now, when you present a message, you want to communicate with the audience. So you must express audibly. What is the meaning of audibly? Audibly means loud enough for everyone to hear. So don't mumble. Don't talk to yourself. Don't just whisper. Please make sure everybody can hear you. How do I know? Look at the back. See how they react. If you say something which people should laugh at, see that the people at the back laugh. Now, see, they are laughing now. I know they understand me. They hear me. But when you say something and then the people at the back, what's he talking about? I didn't hear. When you speak, make sure everybody hears you audibly. Enunciate and pronounce distinctly. What is enunciate? Mr. Sinapan reminded me that I must explain myself when I use his bombastic words. Enunciate is to pronounce your words clearly. When the vowel sounds are long, please make them long. Please take care of the sheep and not take care of the ship. They are two different things. So make sure, you know, for we Asian people, our TH is very poor. We never put our tongue out. We never stick our tongue out because of our culture. To stick our tongue out at people is rude. But when you say words like things, you have to stick your tongue out. Then again, long and vowel sounds, short and short, are two different words. So enunciate and pronounce your words well. That's why a dictionary is important. Check your pronunciation, especially names of the characters in the Bible. Engage the audience in eye contact. Always look at the people. Don't be afraid of the people. Even if you're so afraid you want to cover your face up with a paper bag, please put two holes there so they can still see. Can still see them. Eye contact is very important. Now, I'm giving you definite, specific, clear examples that I have collected in my experience as I listen to people. There's a speaker in our assembly in Penang. He does not address or speak to the audience in front of him. He speaks to angels every time he speaks. Oh, he looks there, he looks here, he looks there, he looks there. Every time he's addressing the angels. Have direct contact. Secondly, our next one, read not from notes. When you have notes in front of you and you are just reading, then you don't have the eye contact. And you don't know how the people react. So, look up. That's why I suggest again, do not prepare verbatim. Prepare outlines. There are two good reasons. Reason number one is your eye is in contact with the audience. Number two, you allow the Spirit to lead you. You're not tied down by your notes. So that as the Spirit leads you, certain thoughts should be left out, lead them out. Certain thoughts should be developed as they come into your mind at that moment, use them, and so on. So outline forms are better. Throw away the notes. Don't use them. Especially verbatim. Respond to the audience's physical reactions. Look at the audience. If you find them looking down, then you know that something is wrong. So come out with an illustration. Come out with a succinct statement. Succinct, short, terse, and right to the point. And wake up people a bit. So that is the way to respond to the reactions. So eye contact is very important. Don't look anywhere. And don't look everywhere except the front. You must look at the audience. And if you find that certain people are sleepy already, about to nod their heads, then introduce something, an anecdote, a story, or a little sentence, just like just now, I just made something short, a sentence that was very short, a short remark, and you laugh, I know you are awake already. You know, when you are about to sleep, and you cannot stand it, you just try to struggle with yourself, want to open your eyes, but you just cannot, then sometimes the speaker just said something as a joke or something to illustrate, and then you laugh. After you laugh, you wake up already, you never sleep anymore. True or not? You see, now that's what I'm doing to you. Mind the following. This is important. Mind your means of communication, your language, the language you use. I stress again on your command of language. Choice of words. And when I say choice of words, I mean appropriate words that will describe what you want to do and what you want to say. Not the wisdom of words of the world to twist people around. Not the wisdom of words. Be concise and precise. Concise means short, terse, brief. Precise, accurate. Be courteous and stick to the point, but do not point at people. Our culture is such that we do not like people to point. Don't point. It's rude to point. You must do this. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Because our culture is such that we do not accept people pointing at us. Be respectful, relevant, and not rude. accommodating the audience. So choose words that are respectful. You are speaking to an elderly audience, please respect them. Don't treat them as children or young people. Mind your manners. This is something that I must develop here. Take care your succinct sentence may not come off as terse or even rude. I told you just now that your remarks should be concise and precise. But make sure that your very concise remarks do not come out as rude. So you've got to be very careful. Non-verbal signals. Body language. How you move your body. That's important. People not only listen to you, but they look at you and see how you behave. Non-verbal signals. Mind your mannerisms. This is a very, very common behavioral pattern among many, many speakers. And unless pointed out, the speaker does not know. So you are very kind when you point out to the speaker, look, this is your mannerism. You need to get rid of it. And if you are committing that kind of mannerism, please don't get insulted when people point it out, because it's good for you. For example, I never knew that I was making a mistake until Mrs. Tan Wah Kin pointed out to me. Because all the time I was pronouncing my word, character, character. You must have a good character. She brought me up one day. She's my sister, God sister. Saying, you know, that word should not be pronounced as character, it's character. I never made that mistake since that time until now. When people are kind and they point out a mistake to you, a mannerism, take it, accept it, and improve on it. Check it out if it is true and eliminate it. Don't get insulted. Don't get insulted. Mannerisms, you will not know. It needs people to point out to you. Verbal punctuations, they distract very much. Right. Now, what are some of the verbal punctuations? In other words, you say something, but somehow you must punctuate that sentence with some other word which should not be there. For example, I put down your notes, la. You must go, you must know la. La, la, la. Avoid that. Okay. Everything after every sentence, okay? 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 Ahem. Ahem. Yes. You know, yes. Yes. You know very well, yes. You know? You see? You see? Lastly. Lastly, but never last. Finally, never ends. Don't use these words. Alright. So, there are many more. Can you just very quickly name some others? I'm talking of verbal punctuations.
So, anymore?
And then. Alright, you better say out. I want you to say out because there are speakers here, so that if they are guilty, they should know. And next time, if they say it, then tell them. Any more? Right? Right? Alright? Any more? No, I didn't say any more. Not as a punctuation, but any more. I've got to ask you something. You never hear me before that. If I use that before that, then it is a mannerism. So be careful of mannerisms. And you are very kind if you point out a mannerism to the speaker. You are not rude. You save a lot of embarrassment for the speaker. Next one, avoid non-meaningful physical gestures. There are some people who smooth out a tie. Now, this is a real experience. I have a very good friend. He spoke, And one day I counted him as counting 30 times, smoothing out the tie. After every remark, he would smooth out his tie 30 times. Then, what about swimming in the air? You see, that's what I mean. You say something and then you repeated gesture, that's right, saying again and again. You are not controlling your hand movements. Shooting into the air. Listen here. Listen here. Listen here. Pang, pang, pang. Shoot into the air. Blowing into or playing with a microphone. Very rude. Alright, there are more. Would you like to say some more? Scratching the head. Cupping the hair. Cupping the chin. So on. Adjusting the pants. His pants is too loose. Alright, I have no time. Avoid reiterated or familiar illustrations and anecdotes. Now, there are some people who like to bring out their family history, their own personal experiences. They are good, provided it's not repeated again and again. I still remember Dato De Hui Kek. Every time he stood up, he must mention this. When I was in England, we know already what's going to happen. His favorite words. Every sermon, our sister Seyang, not nodding his head. When I was in England and I was in Scotland, I must keep on saying every sermon must be like this. So, sometimes personal experiences, while they are good and to be shared, but do not repeat. They want to show that they have been there. You have not been there. Control the circumstances. Ensure equipment used functions smoothly. Now you note that I was here early and I set up everything properly, so that everything functions properly. I would not like to meddle with my equipment when I'm up here. Alright. So, avoid verbal punctuations, non-meaningful physical gestures, display fear when you play with all those gestures. You must be like Kennedy, he was very meaningful in his gesticulation. Avoid reiterated or familiar illustrations. It just shows that you are being cocky. Right, control the circumstances. Ensure equipment functions well. Use visual or verbal aids meaningfully. Alright. You come early, set up your equipment, let it function. Please don't fumble with your equipment while you're up here. Don't start to search and say, where is it? I don't know where it is. What's wrong? Where is the cursor? I can't find it. You don't do this here in public. You get it all ready. Photostated notes. What kind of notes do you photostat and give out? Don't give out verbatim notes. They are no good. Too wordy. Just main outlines will be sufficient. And when you give out wordy words, wordy notes, then people also are not interested. So give out brief notes and people can add notes to them. And then you can also run away from the notes and people do not know. Photostated notes. Alright, that's for photostated notes. Now PowerPoint presentation. Now today, a lot of speakers use PowerPoint presentation. Previously, I was very adverse to PowerPoint because sort of took away people from eye contact instead of fixing on you, fixed on the screen. So, but lately, I found out the usefulness of it, provided you use it properly. And it has helped me a lot. I told you previously, just now, I could not sleep. I would go over my outline, my message, every night, and after that I would lose all my sleep. But today, I don't worry about it anymore. So long as I have my outline before me, as now, I don't have to worry about it. Because when I see the outline, I know how to develop. because I've been thinking about the notes previously. All right. Take care, those of you who use PowerPoint presentation. By the way, I'm proud to say, yes?
They use the photostatic notes, like, you have a preference of giving the notes before you speak. Some speakers don't like that, they only give after they speak. So, how to spell this out?
I think there are advantages and disadvantages for both. If you give out before, if it's only outline notes, then they can fill in. As they listen to the speaker, they can fill in. That's why I say outline notes, but don't give verbatim. On the other hand, there are those who will just keep on writing the notes and not focusing their eyes on the speaker and not listening. So there are advantages and disadvantages. I think you have to weigh them. I dare not come up with a rule. Do they answer your question? Alright. Now, PowerPoint presentation. Now, how did I learn my PowerPoint presentation? You see, to be very frank with you, I'm very sad in a way, although there are a lot of young people here who are very technical savvy, yet I find very difficult to get help from them. And I have most of the things here I learned on my own. And how did I learn PowerPoint? One day, for my Christmas meeting message, I asked our brother Kenny, please, here's the outline, prepare for me a PowerPoint. So he prepared for me, he was very kind. And after that, I took it back, and I started analyzing what he did. I looked slide by slide, what he did, and so on. And that's how I learned my PowerPoint. Nobody ever taught me. And from there, I developed to what I am today. I find it very difficult sometimes to find help. But this is what I have learned. From experience, may I suggest to you that you need to look at this when you use PowerPoint. You display only primary headings, like what I'm doing now, not detailed notes. Pick proper font. The font that I use is Times Roman. Why do I use that? Because if I want to upload it into my website, Times Roman has the smallest capacity with regard to the file size. Other fonts will take up a lot of bytes, so I have no space in my website. So I have got to restrict myself to Times Roman as now. Size, font size, I suggest that you use minimum, not even 12, 24, 27. Minimum 27. That's what I'm using now. You see that size there? It's a small size there. Too small for you to see. Color, choose colors that will stand out. It depends on the background. And then the background, I purposely choose that background so that you cannot see well. So you're going to look into all these things when you use a PowerPoint. So for more effect presentations, avoid excessive bullet points also. Show one at a time, maintain eye contact. Don't show everything at one go. One slide contains everything. And people will be focusing their eyes on that everything on the slide and they won't be listening to you. So show them one item at a time as what I'm doing now. What about Bible text on the screen? Now, is it good for us to put Bible text? The disadvantage is people see the Bible text, they don't see the context. And they do not know their Bibles well. They go back, finished. If you don't, and which I suggest better that way, everybody will have to take out the Bibles and look at the Bible and then see the text and examine the text. And they will read the text and they will try to understand what the text means. So it's much better to refer to the Bible text. Let them get used to it rather than just put everything up there. But if you put everything up there, make sure that people still read the text and they understand what the text says. Very often we put the background, everything there, all the charts, beautiful. But There's no reference to the Bible in front. And as a result, when they go back, they want to read that Bible and the text in front, they read the verse, they cannot understand. They understand the background is there, but they sometimes cannot associate that background with the text itself. And our purpose in doing textual Bible study is to make the audience understand what he reads or what she reads. So you use PowerPoint to illustrate with pictorials, charts, etc. to demonstrate a process, a series of photos and videos, and make sure that all these function well and operate well. Especially videos. If you intend to use videos, rehearse before. And I have used videos before. And the big problem is that when I use some of these videos, the video from your laptop, you can hear quite well, but it cannot be heard by the audience. So you have got to make arrangements for that video to be incorporated into your presentation so that all can hear. No point showing something that people cannot hear. People must always know what they are seeing. So finally I end, and this is the part of the message. Very quickly, your message should consist of three things, three aspects. The introduction, you may use any one of the following approaches. A recapitulation briefly of previous thought, what has been taught before, you can use it as to introduce your next lesson. A review of the background of the topic. A reference to a current or event or incident that's happening now in this world. An anecdote to capture attention, a story. Be contemporary and creative. Whatever you do, just get the attention of the audience before you speak. Then there's the second part, the presentation. Repeat Bible reference if necessary. Now this is important. Sometimes we find that the speaker murmurs over a reference and people do not understand. And by the time they find out from their friends what is the reference, and they turn to that reference, the speaker has gone on to the next reference already. So try to repeat a Bible reference if necessary. If look at the back. If the people at the back start to inquire from one another what you said because they could not hear, then please repeat. Present your points logically, be concise and precise, and be led by the Spirit. As I said, if you have points, you can always leave out or add in without anybody knowing, as led by the Spirit. Express in good English. Check on grammar. Correct malapropism. In other words, words that are misused. Words which has the same sound but is used in another way. So you have got to check for that. Confirm on spelling. Now it's very frustrating to see in black and white spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes on the PowerPoint. Very frustrating. Please check before you use your slides in this way. It's important. Apply and associate with practical situations and challenges. Try to be as practical as you can, of course. Alright, conclusion, last one. Summarize the main statements. That's how you can conclude your message. Leave behind a point to ponder. Stress the take-home truth. Charge with a challenge for the future. When end is reached, back off, do not pass. Please, when you have nothing to say, do not add anymore. Stop. When it's time to stop, you stop. And it's time for me to stop, I stop. Now, I must not add on. So, quick revision. Preparation of message 2 weeks ago, jot down the thoughts first. Juxtapose the thoughts. Justify the thoughts. Form them into an outline. On presentation of the message, take care of your holistic preparation. Take care of the preparation at home. And take care of the preparation in the hall. On presentation of the message, continue. Your attire is important. The poise is important. The proclamation and the parts of the message to be presented properly. Do not become a personal mess in front of everybody because you are so afraid. So, I stress, be in right relationship with God. Be your best for God. Improve. Be what God wants you to be. Whatever it is, do not be a Mr. Ang. That is important. Because after all that the guides have given you, you may like to be like me. Please don't. Be what God wants you to be. Don't be like me. The Lord bless you. I ask Mr. Ong Ing-Guan to close with a prayer.